bride of Christ, to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Host Dr. June Knight. I'm so excited to come to you again. It is such an honor to bring guests to introduce them to you. And listen, we are focusing on the Mississippi Awakening Revival Tour. We have been starting these broadcasts starting last night with Casey Songs. Tonight we're going to hear from the assistant director, Gary Taylor. How you doing, sir?
I am doing wonderful.
Now, listen, Mr. Taylor, he is from Alabama, and before we get started with his interview, I'm going to read y'all his bio so you can get to know him a little bit better. Garrett and his wife, Stephanie, have been married for 13 years and reside in Cullman, Alabama, where they were born. They have been commissioned through Network Ecclesia International by Dutch Sheets and Clay Nash. This is a covering and fathers in the faith and have served on many boards. Garrett has been called many things, but one thing is for sure, to be a follower of Christ, Philippians 1:21. For me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. Matthew 22:14. Many are called, but few are chosen. Garrett is a revivalist and has a vision to see revival fire spread throughout the United States. He believes in training and equipping the saints to see and steward the next great awakening. Garrett and his wife, Stephanie, have had the opportunity to start and be a part of many ministries. The ones they currently oversee, which is Christians Living Proof Ministries, Wrecked and Awakened, One Mission, City Outreach Center, Cullman, Alabama, Revival Hub, and My Sister's Keeper and the School of His Supernatural Presence. These ministries are their lifelong heart and calling. They desire to see their nation in a true God-sent outpouring. These ministries consist of a men's home where recovered drug addicts take the next step in life to become disciples of Christ and be transitioned to be well productive citizens. They are currently working on an abused women and children's shelter. Now, Garrett teaches at a ministry school in their hometown with extensive ministry training. They are missions oriented. Garrett has traveled to countries like Haiti, Caraco, and Aruba to spread revival fires and preach the kingdom with signs following. He has been involved with missionary training to Brazil, training in street evangelism, as well as workshops in power evangelism. God has called them foremost to be missionaries at home. Now, Gary believes that if you preach the gospel of the kingdom, there must be signs and wonders to follow. Romans 15:19, 1 Corinthians 4:20, all the other scriptures that are on the website. So this is Garrett. Okay, Garrett, now listen, we know there's more to your story. So tell us, what did God do to take you from nothing and make you into something?
Well, at a very young age, I started taking drugs about seventh grade. And so I started doing that with the high school students and just to try to fit in. And so at the age I was about 17, 18, got my license, and I started getting into more heavier drugs. And by the age of 18, I was selling drugs. I was doing heavy drugs like cocaine, marijuana, LSD, and ecstasy. I had a few close calls with overdose, and on my third time, I called out to God. And I had called out to God several times before that I knew there was a God, but I just wanted to live it up. And so that time of that last time, this has been kind of like the third time, and as I was wanting to call out to God, I couldn't breathe or do nothing. I was just laying on the floor there at a friend's home, and I asked the Father, I said, "Lord, if you'll get me out of this, I'll do whatever you want me to do." And he kind of in the middle of this, right before that, he said, "Get in or get out. I'm tired of messing with you." And I felt as if that was my last call, like I had outrun the day of grace that God had been calling me since I was a little child. And I felt like
right.
that I would wake up in hell, you know, and that's where I was at. And I woke up the next day, and God reminded me of the promise that I made to him. And it wasn't but about a couple weeks later I got saved, and then got delivered and never went to any rehab. Jesus was my rehab. And
yeah.
About the next 8 months, I didn't have a job or anything. I prayed in groceries and prayed in the bills. And about for the next 8 months, it was every day in the presence of God. And that's from that time, I believe, is why God has brought me to the place where I'm at now.
Right.
That time spent with him. So from there, it took me about 4 years before I would do anything, you know, reach out to any of the old crew that I used to be around. And so I started to go out after about 4 years, and I started to minister to the people to where I was at, or where I was at the time, and started ministering to those type people like I was. And so it just started from there. I started ministering from there. Started seeing miracles in my ministry with healings and signs and wonders and many different things like that at a very young age in Christ, about 2 months old in Jesus. I started to see miracles. And I tasted something that was really good, and I had never been able to go back to the
old
way.
Well, that's a
so that's just kind of that's some of my story. I could write a book on where God has brought me and what He's brought me from, but that's just part of my testimony. Yeah.
Well. Now that you've been in the ministry several years, according to your bio, you are now taking where the devil tried to destroy your life, you are taking that and trying to help your community. You're trying to help others now that were bound up the way that you were. And I've noticed that a lot with having these ministers on the radio, it's been close to 200 now, is that whatever it was, that they was battling is how God turns that around and gives them a ministry to help others. So tell us now what God is doing in your ministry today.
Well, that started, I sat under some ministry for about 10 years, and during that 10 years I had always done outreach. And for those 10 years, I started just reaching out to people like I was or used to be. And so when we launched and I started to go to a place here close to home, God had spoke to me and told me to go to a place here in home where I would serve there for a while. And that place was the Ramp there in Hamilton, Alabama.
Yeah.
And there I served under, you know, Damon Thompson and Dutch Sheets there. And in that, I learned a lot through those two ministers. And so I started a prayer meeting in my home, and it grew and got bigger to where we ended up opening up a building here, and we come together with a pastor, and he was doing some home meetings also, and so we found it and called it the City Outreach Center. And from that time, I started to get into the rehabs and going to the rehabs and ministering and just seeing revival and break out there, seeing a lot of people get saved. And at one time I thought that's the only type of people that could be saved was the ex-drug addicts and prostitutes, you know.
Yeah.
So, it was like, man, that's the only ones that's going to get saved, you know. So that's what I focused on. And so I started to see a need, and God gave me several visions. But one of the visions were when these guys go through the faith-based recovery,
yeah,
they're going to need a place. A lot of them have burned a lot of bridges.
Yeah, true.
And they're going to need a place to live when they get done. So God had given me a vision to open up a transitional home. And so when we opened up that transitional home and we started taking applicants in, and God, one day I was in the home, we was working on some homes, and we got three homes right now, and we were working on one of them. Yeah, and we were working on one of them, and God said, "Do you know why these guys are here?" And I said, "Yeah, so they can transition into being in a better life and all that." And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "They're here for discipleship." And he said, "I want you to make this a transformation home." And he said, "I want you to raise up these men, and I want you to send them out to the streets." And so I took what the Lord spoke, and I started to make it more of a discipleship home. And these guys come in and they go through some extensive training and prayer training and that's the workshops and stuff that I do now at different churches and places. It started with my guys on how to go out and release the kingdom, how to lay hands on the sick, how to cast out devils and, you know, stuff like that. So when God spoke that to me, it changed a path in our walk there. So as we started these centers and stuff, one of the main things when we started to go and build this center, and I call it the City Outreach Center, we have put church in behind four walls so much that it's become our bondage.
Yeah.
And the Lord says, "I want you to have a center, but this center is just a place like a hub. And from this hub, you're going to send out." And so we opened up a hub, and we come together with another body there. And our heart is to see, we've had many people come from different churches that would come and they would get delivered from certain things or get healed and ministered to, and they would go back to their churches. And so we're just that type of place to where we're just a revival hub. And to see that thing start and see the kingdom hit this city and revival come like never before. So that's where we're at right now.
Gary, let me ask you this. My cousin in Arkansas, which is the last place I left, they're trying to open a coffee house, which is going to be a ministry center. And one of the places they went through turned them down and said, "We don't want your kind. We don't want a soup kitchen." You know, and they're like, "We're not a soup kitchen," you know, type of deal. So how has the community received your ministry and your vision?
Well, in all honesty, a lot has not received it very well.
Yeah.
One thing is when you come with a type of apostolic mandate. Now, I'm not talking about the religious type of apostolic mandate. I'm talking about the true apostles and prophets type ecclesia. When you come with something like that, it's doing things a lot different. It's not church as your norm. It's not status quo Christianity. It's a little bit out there, you know, when you're looking at your normal type church setting.
Yeah.
So when you come into a place like that, now this is my hometown, but when you come into a place like that, you're not going to be received by many unless there's a lot that's really like-minded. And
right.
The Lord, you know, had spoke to me and told me that we're not going to be accepted right now, but
yeah.
He has those that are hidden in the caves that are waiting to see and hear that clarion call. And when
yeah.
that happens, they will come out of the caves and they'll be like, hey, we're kingdom minded also. And so it's not easy. It's you know, there's been a lot of resistance, especially by some
well,
of
Garrett,
the co-workers.
It's not just that, but you are in a place that you were born and raised. And you
right.
know, the Bible says that a prophet's not accepted in his own country. So
right.
I can just imagine, you know, if anybody there knows your past and, you know, now you're trying to do this. I mean, I can imagine the resistance that you may be experiencing there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be very, you know, it can be very heart-rending at times when you know you have a passion for a city.
Yeah.
You love a city, and you're wanting to bring together leaders, no matter their denomination, no matter, you know, whether they think you're crazy or whether you think they're crazy.
Right.
You know, you want to bring together a people because the Father looks at unity more than He looks at doctrine.
Yeah.
And, you know, people's like, what are you saying? Well, the Father looks at the heart and love. And if we could, a lot of times doctrine is just man-made.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we have Apostle Creed, the Apostles' Creed, and we need to go by that creed. But when it comes to certain doctrines, it's the doctrines that have split the church and caused
yeah.
denominations. And so, anyways, don't want to go on that a long time. I could teach a class on that, I guess. But
yeah.
I'm just saying that the Father looks at our hearts and He says, you're willing to love your neighbor, no matter if he's a Sadducee or a Pharisee, and you're willing to go beyond that to see what I can do in a place. And it's hard. It's hard because a lot of people are wanting to look and try to build their own church, trying to build, you know, have their own agendas. And it is hard. But I promise you, we're making a difference. We're making a difference.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, normally we do a big prayer at the end, but I just feel led to ask the bride to bow their heads now. Let's pray for Garrett and his family and his city and come together in agreement with him because this ministry believes in the power of prayer. We know that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and powers. So let's all come together in agreement. Lord, we just thank you so much for calling Garrett, Lord, to his hometown, Lord. And we know that your word says that a prophet is not accepted in their own country, Lord. So we just come together as a bride, Lord, and we surround him with love. We surround him, Lord, with strength. We surround him with the blood of Jesus. And, Lord, we just speak peace into his family. We speak peace into his life, Lord, health into him and health into his family, Lord. We pray favor upon him and all of the city leaders in his city, favor with spiritual leadership, Lord, favor with government officials, Lord, social services that he's going to need to partner with to be able to go from one network to the next, that you give him all the favor that he is going to need, Lord, all of the downloads from strategies to everything that he's going to need, Lord, all of the provision and everything, Lord. We just come together in agreement because the word says that when two or three agree is touching anything, it shall be done. And we are coming together in agreement, Lord. We're backing him up in the spirit. And we're setting at bay any enemy that would try to come against him in this vision over his city. We call in Coleman, Alabama, in the name of Jesus, taking dominion over every spiritual warfare in that city, taking dominion over that region and claiming it for the vision that you placed on the inside of Garrett. So we thank you and give you praise today, Lord. It is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, brother, now listen, we're going to move on tomorrow, the Mississippi Awakening Revival Tour.
Yeah.
Now listen, please tell the listening audience how you hooked up with Casey and how you became a part of the team.
Yeah, me and Casey, Pastor Don Stewart, which is the guy that really we could give a lot of honor to here because of him really putting together teams. He's a team manager. He can put together teams in the spirit. And so I'm acquainted with Don from Hamilton, Alabama, when we were part of the ramp there. And Casey, he had talked to me about Casey, and he talked about Casey being a revivalist and done some tent evangelist stuff like that. So he said, Garrett, I really think that you and Casey need to get together. And he said, you guys are really a lot alike in your ministry. And I said, okay. So we met up. Don introduced us. We was actually at an NEI meeting, Network Ecclesia International meeting, there at South Haven at Clay Nash's church, City Gate. And
yeah.
We were there in that meeting, and me and Casey had met up, and we swapped each other's phone numbers out. And Casey had a vision for Mississippi for a long time. You know, he lived there. And me and him had talked a couple of times, and I went down to World Outreach and preached there for him. And so we come together, and as we were together, we just started dreaming, and he started sharing his vision of Mississippi and the Mississippi Awakening, and so I just started telling him my vision of seeing revival fire spread throughout the United States, and we come together, and I just said, man, let's pray on it, let's do it, and so...
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, I'm a let's do it kind of guy. I believe that.
Amen.
You know, and so we prayed on it for a while, and then we come together with some of the other ones that you'll be interviewing and have interviewed and stuff like that. And we come together. We've known each other for a little while, and, man, we just had kindred spirits, and we all had the same heart, and we're all revivalists at heart, and we've all been raised and come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And so
yes.
That's what happened. And we come together, man, and you know, man, you just can't get rid of Casey. He's just too good, you know.
Yeah.
And so Don Stewart really had put this, you know, put this team together, started putting the core of it together, And I'm going to tell you something. He knows how to do it. He prays. And Don's a prayer warrior. I'm telling you, he sees things. And, you know, when Don speaks, I want to listen because he's got a lot of wisdom. And when he said you need to hook up with this Casey guy, I really put a lot of interest in what he said. And for sure, that's exactly what has come about. So that's how me and Casey come together right there. So.
Well, talk to the bride a little bit about what can they expect on this tour. What is the heart of it? What are we thinking? How is it going to work?
Well, you know, I used to make a lot of plans back in the earlier days with my ministry. and so I ended up throwing all the plans out the door and just said, okay, God, you just have it. But what I believe that the Lord is showing us in our vision is we want to see key leaders in each city there in Mississippi come together. And us work with those leaders and churches to evangelize and to bring about revival. People, one thing that I see when the guys that you're having, the guys in this Mississippi Awakening, these revivalists and the ladies and the guys, and is wherever they go, God goes with them, and He shows up, and He, it literally is preaching the true gospel with signs and wonders following. And that's what we're expecting to see. We're expecting to see, if God gives the vision, then He will bring the provision of the signs, wonders, and miracles. And if we preach the true gospel, then there will be power that follows. It's a gospel of power. So we're really, we're going to see revival is what we're going to see. We're going to see Mississippi on fire for God. And we're going to see those key leaders that have been praying, those intercessors that have been joining together and praying and wanting to see this happen. We're going to see those kingdom connections being made. And we're going to, with those connections and those alignments, what we're going to see is when you have God-ordained alignment, then you have God-ordained kingdom and heaven touching earth. And so that's what we're going to see. We're going to see heaven touch earth in a mighty, powerful way.
Amen. Well, Bride, listen, the plan so far, like he's saying, God could change it, is that we would get together once a month in a city for 4 days. And Wednesday, we meet with spiritual leadership and pray with them and fast. Thursday, we meet with the intercessors and we pray. And then Friday and Saturday is the revival. And the team that's coming, all the revivalists from 4 different states that are coming together for the purpose of revival, are not even the ones preaching. They're just coming to show support to these cities, saying, hey, we want to get in the battle with you and fight in the spirit and come in agreement with what God has called you to do in that city. So that's mainly what this is about, is just kindred hearts, like he's saying, coming together and believing God to move in revival. Okay, brother, listen, we are going to take a quick little break, and we're going to have 2 commercials, and we'll come back, and you can preach. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, one moment. Reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Vision Communication can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is souls. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen. Are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London. in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Tree House today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Amen, Brian. This is Dr. June. We are back with the WATB radio show. We're kicking off the MART tour. We have got your speakers for the next 2 weeks that are on the tour that is going to preach the house down. And we know that Garrett is not going to let us down today. Amen. Go for it, Garrett.
Okay, as I was praying and preparing for today, go back to a verse of scripture that God had given me here back a few months ago, and I'm not politically correct, so I hope I don't get in trouble, but I just kind of go with how God tells me to go with it. But when we were having the issues with legalizing homosexuality and the ISIS crisis and different things like that, I was just kind of sitting around and I was just like, what does that have to do with me? You know, people are going to be people and let people do what they want to do. It has nothing to do with me. And as I said that, the Father just said, it has everything to do with you. And it was a rebuke to me. And I said, what are you saying? And he said, I've called you to be a watchman. And he said, and you have fallen asleep at the post, and you have not seen these things coming, and now you're seeing the problem that has arose, and I've called you to do something about it. And I said, Lord, forgive me. And for about 2 or 3 days there, I literally went to our place of meeting there and just laid in the altars and prevailed. And God gave me a spirit of prayer over the nation. And so again, the scripture that comes to me, and this is the scripture that we have heard for many years, and it's the 2 Chronicles 7:14, and if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, you know, and we all know the rest of that scripture.
Yeah.
And so what God was showing me, and he said, I want you to turn over to the book of Joel. And he said, you're not going to see revival until you first see true repentance. And he said, you're not going to see true repentance until you first see a strong desperation. And so as I was seeking the Lord, and we've had really good meetings, and we call them revival, the Lord says, the people are not ready for revival. And he said, and I must deal with my people. And see, he said, it's not the wicked that I'm concerned with. He said, it's the wicked of my body, the wickedness. He said, I never judged a nation or dealt with a nation because of the homosexual. He said, I dealt with a nation because of the lasciviousness and sexual morality of my people.
Hmm.
And he said, what you're seeing happening in the physical is because of my people are doing it in the pulpit.
Told
me, he said, son, if you want to stop abortion, he said, we need to stop aborting spiritual babies in the pulpit. And he said, I'm calling you to prayer, and I'm calling you to fasting. And so this is not just a word for those that I'm preaching to. This is a word that God has strongly dealt with me about. And it got down to my inner core to where I was really in travail, to where I was pain-stricken with travail, because I realized that I was caught up into this blindness like Samson was, you know. And so the scriptures that's the scripture I want to start with. And then here's a scripture to where if we read in Joel, what happened was in Joel, all the crops have been eaten up, the locusts, the flying locusts. And you can see all the way through that, it's that everything was pretty much just ate to nothing. There was nothing left, any fruit left whatsoever. And the wine, the new wine, was ran out. There was no new wine. And so all those things resemble the fruits and joy and the peace, and it resembles refreshing. And God spoke and through Joel, and he said, consecrate a fast. He said, let the ministers weep between the porch and the altar. Let their hearts be troubled as my heart is hurting. Let their hearts hurt. So my people will humble themselves. So my people will turn from their wickedness. So my people will seek my face. So that way, through your desperation, will come true repentance. And from that repentance will come true revival. God is wanting to bring a God-sent, true Holy Ghost revival. We've been hearing the prophecies of a third great awakening for 20 years. We've been hearing the prophecies of revival. And I want to tell you, it's got everything to do with the body of Christ as a whole. But individual cities can have these revivals. Individual cities can have these outpourings that God is wanting to do. We see in revival hubs pop up everywhere. And they're having these I call them spurts of revival. They're having these drippings of revival.
Yeah.
But God showed me a vision of right now we're just working through a branch of revival to where there's just the trickle, you know, a calm trickling of a branch when you walk up on it in the woods. But God said, what I'm about to do is going to look like Niagara Falls. See, Ooh. He always gives us the promise first so that way we can work to the promise. And God is trying to tell us, look, I'm going to do this, but you have a part in it. My body has a part in it. And so on the call to repentance in Joel chapter 2, verse 12, it says, now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. No longer, what he's saying there is, quit trying to do the outer show of repentance and get into the serious heart of the matter. I want you to go deep, he says. I want you to get down into the issues that you have been walking. You've still got these issues. Yeah, you've got victory over them, but when can we get to the place to where we no longer have to have victory because we no longer have the issue? He said, I want to take the issue away. And so everything that we are seeing going on in our nation, in our cities, everything that we see going on is a direct response of the lack of the body of Christ standing where she is supposed to stand. If you read about the great awakenings that happen, and I'm not really preaching right now, I'm just talking. I mean, I hope I ain't want to get out there and preach, because I will preach, but I think that this is just really need to be heard. But every time a true awakening comes to a nation or to a city, we're going to say city like with Wales and those places with the Welsh revival, and every time those places come, what happens is, you don't have to worry about the homosexuality. You don't have to worry about the drunkards or the drug addicts. Because what happens, God starts to change that.
Yes.
Automatically.
Yes.
Bars start
crime
to shut
rate,
down.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Prostitution houses start, you know, sex trafficking starts to shut down. Abortion stops. You see what I'm saying? But what happens?
Yes.
We and I might start preaching right now, because we have closed our eyes to the truth. And the famine that's in the land that we're seeing now with the locusts and all this stuff that has eaten up, what has happened is that's the famine of truth. The body of Christ does not understand truth anymore. They don't understand truth anymore. The body of Christ will stand against the truth. It's an Isaiah 50 type thing, where dark will be called light, the black will be called white. You see what I'm saying? But
yes.
Because the confusion is coming from the pulpit. When we start to preach and we're preaching grace like a cover-up that brings us into lasciviousness, what that does is that makes us spiritual adulterers to our father, to our husband, if you want to say. So what happens is we preach a grace that's so watered down that excuses us instead of empowers us. What happens is we have no power. And then if we have no power, then whatever if we say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, the mountain still stays there.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? If we speak to cancer and we tell cancer to dry up, the cancer just stays there.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So that's what's happening is we have left truth. So what's got to happen is we've got to get a hold of truth again. We've got to get a hold. The famine, the refreshing is going to come when the ministers of God stop laying their head in the lap of Delilah in this world and quit in their compromise, and they're committing spiritual fornication.
Yeah.
When they will take a stand and say, I will no longer, come on, let's talk about it. Let's talk about Samson. His last stand was the greatest stand. He knew what it was like to have his vision took away. He knew what it was like to have no more power. He knew what it was like to have his hair cut off. He knew what it was like to get caught up in the junk that he thought was good.
Yes.
But that last stand, and I could hear a cry, Samson, say, God, just one more time.
I know, yes,
Lord. Just
one
more time, God. And I'm telling you, and I'm talking to some ministers right now. Listen, the reason we're having so much sexual perversion going on in the nation is because pastors can't quit looking at pornography. That's the problem.
Yeah.
The reason we're having babies murdered is because we're murdering spiritual infants from the pulpit. It's time that we come and preach a gospel with power and demonstration of power. If your gospel don't have power, then you're not preaching the gospel. Either the Bible is true, or we need to throw that thing out and let's go back to work.
Yes.
And that's where I'm at. You see what I'm saying?
See,
people want revival, but they don't want to get dirty.
Yeah, exactly.
They want revival, but they don't want snot slinging. They don't want people wailing. They don't want people crying out, oh, God.
Yeah.
See, sinners in the hands of an angry God is a message that now is considered, he's considered a heretic.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because it said that those people felt like that heaven was opened up above them and hell was opened up beneath them. But I will tell you what happened. People's lives got radically changed. Cities got turned upside down.
Yeah.
If you want to do what the apostles did, you got to do what the apostles did.
Yeah.
You speak the word of God with boldness. And what's going on right now in America? And I'm not trying to down anybody. Look, somebody's got to say it.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to say it.
Yeah.
Either we take a stand for the things of God and quit trying to grow our church with gimmicks on how to grow your church in 24 months. And let's grow the church, Acts 2 and Acts chapter 5. See, there was about 3,000 added in Acts chapter 5 after Ananias and Sapphira died. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right after they died, it said, and none would join themselves to them because the fear of God fell on the whole place.
Yeah.
What that meant was nobody that was going to play church dared join themselves to them.
Yeah.
But there's about 3,000 that said, oh, God, revival is here, and we got to get joined up with them folks.
Yes.
You see,
yes.
I'm not into gimmicks. Anyways, praise God. I don't know where this thing went, but I'll tell you this. If we read the Bible, and that's all we got to do, we got to get back to the Word of God.
Yes.
If we read the Scriptures is very clear that God raised up deliverance when the people started reaping the consequence of their junk. There was never a deliverer until people got desperate enough for the consequence. Do you want to know why so many people get in church, they have a really good, happy feeling. They might cry a little bit. They might get delivered, or what it is, they might get relief. But about 2 or 3 months later, they're right back in their same junk.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why. Because they came, and a minister didn't have enough, how do I say this? He couldn't have enough discernment to find out, are they just here because they want relief from the consequence of their sin? Or are they here really desperately trying to repent? See, people don't understand. Garrett, how come when you come to the Lord, you didn't need rehab? How come when you got saved, you really did get saved? How come you've never? And I said, because I suffered enough of my junk that I realized that I had to repent in order to make things better.
Yeah.
I had to accept Jesus, and I had to receive what he had done for me in order to make things better. And so when I got saved, I really got saved. What's happening is we're filling our prayer lines up with people that just need relief, and they just can't take the consequence. But when God is saying, if you would just repent and turn from your wickedness, I will bring deliverance. Instead, you just want relief. There will never be true gospel revival. And I'm not trying to damper anything. But I got to tell you, when I say I'm a revivalist, I really mean it. Because I'm not going to settle for, we can't settle for another flash in the pan, jump up and down, shooting the cons down and shining up Hondas, and nothing ever changes.
Yeah.
I preach this all the time. If I lay hands on you and you fall in the floor like you got something and you get back up and you live like you lived before you fell down, then you just fell down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
See, it's the Holy Ghost that has come in. It's the
right.
Holy Spirit, not the grace spirit, not the sin spirit. It's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And if he has come in, then you live differently. You can't help but to live differently. Not of your own strength, lest any man should boast. Not of your own works. But when he really comes in, change takes place. And what happens is we're preaching the gospel where true repentance is not heard of. If you say repent, you're legalistic now.
That's sad.
Yeah. But I'm going to read this. How much more time we got? Because, I can keep going.
You're good. You got a good 10, 15 minutes.
Okay. Here's the thing. Deliverance never came. The Old Testament reveals God's patterns for deliverance and revival. Deliverance didn't come until God's people had enough and started, until they had enough and they started to repent and cry out for help. And until they got desperate enough that they needed something more than just relief.
Yeah.
It was 400 years that Israel was making brick for Egypt. And you know they was crying out to God. And after 400 years, God said, okay, I'm going to raise up Moses, and he's going to be the deliverer. the thing about it is we get so blind and so caught up with the day-to-day life, with our jobs, our money, trying to make money. We got to make money. We got to do this. We got to do that. We get so caught up with that that we end up serving, and this is why I'm talking about the Samson. We end up serving the god of this world.
Yeah.
And it blinds us to the things of God. That's what was happening to me. When I said, God, what does it have to do with me? He said, it has everything to do with you. And I repented for 3 days.
Yeah.
And if those that are hearing this broadcast would hear not my voice in this and not the way I'm bringing it, but if they would hear what the Holy Spirit is saying right now to the body of Christ,
yeah,
those ministers that are Samsons, that are just saying, God, one more time, I'm speaking to some right now.
Yeah.
If they would hear that, hear what the Spirit is saying, it's not too late. It's not too late. Make a stand. Make a stand. Get on our face. And let's cry out to God. Let's repent of our wickedness. Let's seek His way of doing things. And let's see what He will do. But until we do that, we will never see our own personal revival, and we'll never see the church in revival. And this is the kind of stuff that I'm going ahead and saying, Mississippi, get ready. Prepare. Prepare. There's a shaking coming, but understand that the shaking that's coming is God doing the shaking, because He said in Hebrews 12 that God is the consuming fire. But and He did say this, that everything that can shake will shake, and everything that is made, that word right there means man-made. Every man-made doctrine, every man-made denominational, you know, all that stuff, all of that stuff is going to be shaken. But there's one thing remains, and that is the kingdom. The kingdom will remain. The kingdom will remain. And so get ready for the shaking, because revival is coming to Mississippi. And understand this, that no matter how dark it looks, listen, when it gets dark is when the light shines the brightest. And we are called the children of light.
Yes.
And so sometimes it has to get dark before we turn our lights on.
Yeah,
if I'm talking to those up there, just let your light shine now before men, so that way it don't have to get as dark as people say it is.
Right.
You can be a city on a hill when everything around you is falling down, but your city, your region, can be that place of refuge. And that's what God has shown me. If my people who were called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. That's the word of the Lord, for not only for Mississippi, but for this nation. We must hear Him.
Yes.
Amen. That's all I got.
Well, I tell you what, Brad, if you've been listening to these broadcasts, you will know how just the Holy Spirit just builds upon these broadcasts one after another, precept upon precept, and that is what He is saying to the bride. There is judgment coming, but it's because He's jealous for us. We've turned ourselves too much into a system where we've created, like you said, we've aborted many missions, many Christians that had purposes and destinies. We've aborted them because we've not allowed them to express it in the church. The church has become a system where they've closed off people from having any identity other than what they think, you know, it should be. So there is a shaking coming, and I see what you're saying about your personal ministry in your city. You know, you're talking about the apostolic anointing. I call it authentic Christianity, organic Christianity. It's just where you're saying, I'm just obeying him at all costs. And it is different than the way that the system church puts it out, you know?
Yeah.
So right now, we are going to pray. Now, listen, I want to remind you, listening audience, to check out Mart at www.revivalms.com. You can find out more about it. And I'm sure if you have any other questions about it, Garrett would be happy to help you with that, him and Casey. And I would like to ask you, Garrett, to pray, because I'm feeling in the spirit that there are ministers out there that are listening to you, and they just need prayer. So would you mind praying for them?
Yeah. Pastor, apostle, evangelist, teacher, missionary, I want to encourage you today and tell you that I love you and God loves you. The words that I said was from God, and but he's just like a good father that he kind of chastised those that he loves. And,
yes.
And when daddy gets on us sometimes, sometimes it seems hard and we pout sometimes, and you know what, that's okay. But I just want to encourage you through prayer. I know how you feel. I know where you're at. Some of you could lose your congregation if you made a stand. You got families to provide for. You got family to feed. You got health insurance on the line. I feel sorry for you. But I want to tell you and encourage you that there's a day coming when we will stand before him.
Yes.
And give an account for every word, especially the ministers. You'll be held at a higher accountability. And I just want to encourage you, make a stand. We surround you in prayer.
Yeah.
You're our brother. You're our sister. And so I just want to lift you up. I want to encourage you to make a stand to what you know is truth.
Yeah.
Father, we come to you in your loving kindness.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we know that any judgment has your end in view, that you
yes.
have a plan even in judgment. In judgment
yes.
is your love is the end result. In judgment, your mercy is the end result. Father, I thank
yes.
you that I was a child that come from judgment, because if it wasn't for your judgment, I would have never known your love. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for that. And, Father, I pray for the ministers that right now that feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for their covering, Lord. I pray for their healing, Lord. I pray, Lord, for boldness, just like
yes.
Paul, after they got out of prison. And it said that they prayed for boldness, and the whole place shook where they were at. Because you give them boldness. Father, right now, I pray for boldness for your ministers out there. Right
yes.
now, I pray for those Samsons right now, Father God, that know that they've made the mistake, that they've lost their vision, they've lost the anointing, Father God. Lord, they've just given up. But, Father, I just pray for that one more time. Lord, I pray for that strength for this last day. Lord, the raising up the Samsons, Lord. Lord, I pray strength, and I pray boldness, Lord, that they will preach the name of Jesus and every truth that goes with that name, Father God, with boldness and with power and with love. Father, I send your comfort there. Father, I send your love there. Father, I send your healing there. There's some that's on here that you have been waiting on a healing, and you wondered why your healing hasn't come. Father, we just send your healing there right now.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
Break the yokes of bondage. Father, right now, every demonic power and every demonic spirit that has been standing in the way of their birthing, to birthing the vision,
Right now I command them to be bound up with chains and cast to the abyss of hell, to the place of no return. I command them to be bound over to the tormentors.
Yes, Lord.
Right now I execute the sword of God's judgment on those demon spirits and on those spirits of infirmities, on those lying spirits, on those spirit of Jezebel. I declare the judgment of God's sword on those spirits, and I say it is finished in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
Let my words not be words of condemnation, but let my words be the words of stern love. As a father
yes, Lord.
Gathering his hands, as a father shadowing his children, help us make the stand in that day, Lord. As Paul said, Lord, that we might make it.
Yes,
Lord, that
Lord.
I might make it. So let not any lying spirits have their way. Let truth and repentance come. Let true grace come. The ability to do what God has called us to do.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We praise you. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Okay, well, we're going to pray for the MART tour, and then we'll get off here. Bride, if you don't mind coming together in agreement with us again, we're going to pray for this tour. Lord, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus for every person that's on this team, Lord. We pray strength upon them, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for them partnering together for unity for the bride, Lord, to see the vision of revival across the state of Mississippi, Lord, and anywhere else you send them. So, Lord, we just speak unity within the team. We pray peace in all their families, Lord, and that they would have all the provision they need, God. And we pray for Casey and Garrett, Lord. We just pray, and also for Clay and for Don, Lord. We pray for all the leaders, Lord, that you would just cover them in the blood of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for them having compassion for the state of Mississippi, Lord, having the love for the state of Mississippi, God. And I thank you that you're going to honor that, Lord, and giving them favor everywhere that they need it, Lord, and for all the provision that they need to make this thing come to pass, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that it is your will, Lord, that we go and we unite together, Lord, for the kingdom, because it's all about kingdom, not personal agendas, but kingdom. So we thank you and give you praise today, Lord. May your kingdom be advanced on the earth. Let the glory of the Lord cover the earth. And we thank you and give you praise, God. You're so worthy of it all, Lord. You're worthy of all the praise. We thank you, Lord, for Garrett being on here with us tonight, Lord, and for him sharing the word of God with us and sharing his heart, Lord, and just telling the bride how much he loves them, Lord. And we hear from his heart that he really means it. And that is wonderful, Lord, to know that he is for real. And so we ask you bless his family, Lord, and bless everything that he needs, Lord, and make his vision plain. Give him clarity in his mind, Lord, from hearing your word, hearing your voice, Lord, receiving downloads of the prophetic, Lord, and angelic visitations, Lord, and things that he's going to need, Lord, even writing books. Writing books, Lord, clarity for the books that you need him to write, Lord, and clarity for his vision, Lord, and giving him a team of support, Lord. And I thank you, too, Lord, for the love that you've given him for the downtrodden. Where a lot of people, Lord, they overlook them, but, Lord, he has love for them. He sees them, and he has a heart and a compassion. So, Lord, I pray that you give him everything he needs for those homes. Bless him with free homes, Lord. Bless him with all the provision that he needs for that, Lord, and the staff to be able to man those houses and to be able to teach them while he has to be on the road or whatever he needs to do. So we thank you and give you praise, Lord, that as he steps out and helps in this mission with Mississippi, you will take care of his mission.
Yes.
So we thank you and give you praise for everything and for this broadcast today. In Jesus' name, amen.
God
all right, brother, will you have a blessed evening?
Okay, thank you so much, and God bless Mississippi. And I'm
excited to see Mississippi on fire.
Amen. All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.